It is good that you and I can come together as a body of believers, that you and I can come together and that we can encourage one another. You know, I want you to know today, you encourage me because you are here, and I hope and pray that I am encouraging you while you're here, and that we begin to draw strength from one another, because that's what church is all about. Church is to get filled. Church is to get renewed. Church is to get the information into your heart and your mind so that you can take what you hear today and every Sunday, you can take it with you, and actually you can go and read over everything that I will say today that will encourage you, and then you will take that and you will encourage somebody else, because there's plenty of people in the world today that needs encouragement. I don't know about you, but I do know there seems to be sometimes more discouragement than there are encouragement. But I am about to encourage you today and let you know what God clearly wants you and I to do. So there are times that you and I are challenged spiritually in our walk in life. There's things that you and I face. There's things that you and I deal with. It is not a bed of roses. Know that the roses have thorns. And so there are times that we're going to go through some things. But listen, we're not going alone. You are not going alone. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ is with you through everything that you and I go through. So guess what? We have living hope, folks. We have living hope. You have a living hope in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter what mom says, what dad says, what your friends say, what your aunt and uncle say. It's all about what Jesus has done on the cross for you. And with that, we have the victory on top of victory. Today, I'm going to start a brand new series, and we're going to go through this for a while. It's called God's Design Series. And we're going to look at what God has designed for you and I and what He is challenging you and I to become and what we're to do. And so with that, as I was looking over everything, I thought, you know, this is a moment where the you and I need to know as the church what we're to do and what God is asking us to do. And so with that, if you'll go with me, because we're going to be going through the book of Colossians, all through Colossians. So I do want to let you know in advance, if you got the time and the opportunity at your home, read the book of Colossians. It's not long. And so with that, we're going to be going into this, and we're going to do a study on this, and I'm going to try to bring out some things to you to encourage you of what God's design is for your life and what He is trying to say to us today. So go with me to Colossians, the first chapter of the New Testament, starting with the first verse. And we're going to look at this. And the title of my message on God's Design Sermon Series, number one, is that ministered, the church that ministered to a prisoner. We're going to look at this a little bit. The church that ministered to a prisoner. And we want to look at this as time will permit here a little bit. The church that ministered to a prisoner. Colossians 1 and 1. Paul, as the apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and to the faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. Okay, there's a church in Colossae at this time as we look at this in the New Testament. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you've heard before in the world, and of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world. And it is bringing forth fruit. I want you to look at this with me. Bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you, since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. As you, verse 7, as you also learn from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who, verse 8, has declared to us your love in the Spirit. Can I hear an amen to God's word? I want you to know, as we begin to open this up and as it begins to unfold, the Apostle Paul clearly lets us know here that there's prayers that are going on within the church, thanking them for the prayers and knowing that their faithfulness is strong, and knowing that he could not do anything without Jesus Christ, and that he acknowledges those that are in the faith that is praying for him, and that the church would continue to flourish and continue to grow. As he said, since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. And so he clearly lets them know, I appreciate what is going on. I've learned that this year that there are a lot of those that are being martyrs for the cause of Christ. I just saw on news this morning that there are a lot of those that are Christians that are dying in Africa for the cause of Christ, that there are terrorist organizations in Africa that are going everywhere and anywhere that there is a Christian, they're trying to distinguish them out, and they're very concerned because they feel like it's going to eventually become like another Egypt in the Bible, where that people were being slain and killed. And so I want you to know today how that it is so important for us to understand where we stand with God in our Christian culture and where we stand with God in our walk with the Lord, because as time goes on, you and I will be tried and we will be tested, and our faith is going to be under fire. And so what we need to understand as a church and as a body of believers is that we must continue to assemble ourselves together, and that we not forsake the time that we spend, because we draw strength with one another, and how that it is important that you and I get rooted and established in the love of Christ, because the enemy is out there, as we know, to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus Christ has come that we may have life. And so as the Apostle Paul clearly lets us know that the church that ministers to a prisoner, he is saying, I appreciate what is going on. As we look at this and as we begin this series, I want to introduce you to this. This is one of the richest letters of Paul as he presents in God's Word, a deep source of truth of concerning Christ, and for us to contend for the faith in Christ Jesus. We're not to deviate. We're not to look to the left. We're not to look to the right. We're not to be saturated with the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. And so we need to understand and what our identity is in Christ, in our Christian culture, that we will contend for the faith and not hold back on the truth of God's holy word. I look clearly as time has gone on. with Charlie Kirk. He was still contending for the faith. He was still strong in the faith. He was still sharing Christ. He was letting people know that he had been changed, that he knew of Jesus, and he accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And so he didn't deviate from that. Well, that's where we've got to be strong and passionate in our faith with the Lord Jesus Christ day in and day out. Paul lets us know here, as we will look at this, Paul refreshed and revised while writing from prison. He was in prison. He was doing the work of the Lord, and because of the work of the Lord, he went to prison because they didn't want him to talk about Jesus. They did not want him to share the good news around. So he's in prison, but he writes the letter to Colossae and lets them know, contend for the faith. And by the way, thank you for your prayers, because I'm in prison right now. I don't know how long I'm going to be here. I don't know when I'm going to die. But I want you to know, whatever happens to me, the Apostle Paul says, I want you to continue to fight the good fight of faith. And so we must contend for the faith. Epaphras brought news from Colossae that ministered to Paul. As we see Epaphras, he was one of the leaders there, and he comes to bring encouragement to Paul while he's there in prison. And yet joy filled Paul's heart over what was happening in this church. Things were turning upside down. I want you to know, today is our challenge. We need to turn our church upside down. We need to be on fire for God. We need to have the victory, as we talked about today, as we sung about today. Victory today is mine. Victory today is yours. There's no need for us to hold our head down, but it's for us to hold our head up high, give the world a smile, and know that we have been commissioned to mission our world that we're living in, and that we will contend for the faith, and will not look to the left nor to the right, but we'll look to the cross and know that Christ will be the sustainer that will sustain us, that we may change as Christ changes our hearts and our lives. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. The question would be, what caused Paul such a joy over these believers? Why was Paul so excited over this church while he was in prison? His mind was on the Lord Jesus Christ. I feel like if we all went to jail today, would our mind be on the Lord Jesus Christ? No, our mind would be on being mad, being upset. Why am I here? Why did you do this, God? And what am I dealing with? That would be probably our mindset. But Paul knew exactly what was going on. And guess what? He signed up for this, folks. He signed up for this. He was a persecutor of the church. He was Saul before he became Paul. But he was struck down on the road to Damascus, and Jesus began to change his way of thinking. He was a killer of the church. He tried to extinguish everything that was around him. But God struck him down and said, why are you going against the pricks? Why are you doing what you're doing? Paul, take all that energy that you're trying to kill the church out, and take that energy and keep it for the Lord Jesus Christ, and work for the Lord Jesus Christ. And guess what? Paul said, yes, Lord, I will. I don't know you, but you, Lord, and you and me crucified. And Father God, I just want to be crucified in you, Lord, because I want you to be in my heart and life. So Paul began to work for the Lord as he wrote a lot of the epistles. My first point today is their strong faith in the Savior. This is an example of the church. This church had strong faith in the Savior. How strong is your faith today? If anything should strike you today, physically, spiritually, financially, emotionally, mentally, how strong is your faith? Ask yourself that question. How strong is my faith? How strong is your faith? Because this church had strong faith and they knew where Paul was. They knew where Paul, his heart was at. And the Bible clearly lets us know that Paul stayed faithful through it all. He did not panic. He didn't like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do in this jail cell? What am I going to do, Lord? It was not the blame game of everything else that's going on. But he contended for the faith and he began to pray. Folks, when you get in a situation that you don't know what to do and you feel like just wringing your hands or you feel like just throwing your hands up and you feel like you're quitting, that's when God wants to come on the scene and begin to move in your life because you're right close to the brink of a miracle and the devil knows it and he's going to do everything he can to deter you away. But if you will contend for the faith and say, Lord, I'm trusting you through it all, no matter what it looks like, no matter what's happening. Lord, I'm believing and I'm fully surrendering to you the complete lordship. To the saints and the brethren in Christ, these believers were genuine. These believers didn't look to just themselves. But they looked to others. They began to unite themselves together in the bond of love. They began to have one mind, one accord, because they knew that Paul was in a situation that he could not get out of. And that all he could do is pray and all the church could do. Folks, when you don't know what else to do, you begin to pray. You begin to get on your knees and you begin to communicate with the Lord. When you know that there's nothing else you can do, you can try to fix it, you can try to do this, try to do that, but when you don't know what to do and there's nothing else that you can do, is you can go before the Lord in prayer and you can get on your knees and say, Lord, I'm giving it to you. I'm tired of making a mess. I'm tired of handling it myself. Lord, I want you to handle it. Then that's when your faith comes alive, when you relinquish what you have in your ability and you give it to the Lord Jesus Christ with His ability. Why? Because He never fails. Why? Because He'll never let you down. Why? Because He's your strength. And He's the one that's going to continue to provide for you. Paul says this to the saints and the brethren in Christ. These believers were genuine. Paul knew that they were real. And they were called. And he called them the saints of God. He rejoiced that they were faithful to Christ. Just hearing about these Christians made Paul thankful to know that his work was not in vain. Folks, your work is not in vain when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Some will plant, some will water, but God gives the increase. God gives the increase, folks. It's not about you, it's not about me, but it's about what God does in our hearts and lives, and He will give the increase. The church just has to be where Christ is at. Just hearing about this. Colossians 1 and 3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Paul was still thankful in his circumstance. He was still thankful in his situation. Don't stop thanking God when trouble comes your way. Don't stop praising God when things come your way that's not good. You still give God praise in the good time and in the bad. Why? Because it doesn't change your relationship. Things will happen in life. Things will come your way, but it does not change your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He found himself praying for them often. When he needed to be worried about himself, he was worried about the church. He was worried about what God was doing. He got his mind off himself. He's in prison, but he got his mind off himself, and he got his mind on God. Folks, there's a lot of times we keep our mind on ourselves. We need to get our minds off ourselves, get our minds on God, get our minds on the cross, and get our minds on other people, and pray for other people, and encourage other people. And when you do that, then you get encouraged. You begin to get healed. You begin to get delivered. God begins to move on you when you move out on others. Because it's not about you, it's not about me, but it's about what Jesus Christ does in our hearts and life to move out on others. Don't be selfish. Don't be so consumed of yourself. What I'm going to do, when I'm going to do it, where I'm going to do it, how I'm going to do it. We need to be able to contend for the faith and share with others. Listen. Their strong faith refreshed Paul's soul. Faith and evident in their prayers. Faith demonstrated in their giving. Charles Spurgeon says this on faith: a little faith will bring your soul to heaven. Great faith will bring heaven to your soul. Let me say it again. Great evangelist Charles Spurgeon said this on faith: a little faith will bring your soul to heaven, but great faith will bring heaven to your soul. Having that faith and saying, Lord, I'm not, with your help, I'm not looking to the left, I'm not looking to the right, but I'm looking to the cross, Lord, through faith. Second, their sincere love for all believers. This church had sincere love for all believers. Look at this, Colossians 1 and 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, the love which you have to all the saints, what a great reputation for any church. What a model church that we can look at today of the love that they had. You know, I wonder sometimes that if we're not careful, we go through the motions, we go through the rituals, we go, well, that's what you do. You go to church on Sunday. Well, that's what you do. You come in and you sing. Well, that's what you do. You hear the pastor. Well, that's what you do. You do these things. And listen, if it becomes something that we do as a ritual, then where is the love of the Lord Jesus Christ? Folks, the reason why we come to church is not only just to know God and make Him known, but we're to acknowledge that our Lord and Savior arose on the third day. He's seated with the right hand of the Father, and therefore we have victory because He died on a cross over 2,000 years ago to bring victory to you and I, and to bring us peace that passeth all understanding, and to bring us exactly where we need to be, not where we want to go. Listen, what a great reputation of this church. Love is the badge of discipline. Love, and it brings the badge of discipleship. John 13 and 35, by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. People will know that you're part of Jesus Christ when you have love for one another. Love proves that we've passed from death to life. 1 John 3 and 14, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. And we know that love hides a multitude of sin, and we know love becomes the foundation as this church at Colossae had the love for one another, and they had love for the Apostle Paul because they knew that he was in prison, and they knew that all they could do was go before the Lord in prayer. And that is what Jesus is asking the church today. He is saying, go before me in prayer. Communicate with me. Unite with me. Yoke up with me. My yoke is easy. It is not heavy. It's not burdensome. But when you yoke up with him, then he begins to let us know that we can conquer anything that we come through in life. Listen, without love, we're nothing. 1 Corinthians 13 and 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. You can say what you want to say, be what you want to be, do what you want to do, go where you want to go, but if you don't have the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, it doesn't amount to a hill of beans. Because that's the foundation, is love. I don't care who they are. If they're purple, black, yellow, blue, purple, pink, whatever. I don't care what condition that they're in. They can be tattered up from the foot down to the tops of their head. They can be whatever they want, look whatever they want, but I am to still love them because that's the love of Jesus Christ, because he loves all. Because the love of God is not in us if we don't love one another. Love for all saints should begin with those closest to us. Active love in our homes. Active love in our churches. Love ends strife and builds fellowship. No wonder Paul was refreshed by the loving church. Some will say, oh well, he's in jail, let's move on. Oh well, he's in jail, well, life goes on. Sorry, buddy, you must have done something bad because you wouldn't be in jail if you didn't do something bad. And that's our society right now. Well, whatever, it's move on. But no, the church continue to love. The church continue to pray. What are you saying, Pastor? What I'm saying is the church has got to have that burning desire that you love those that are lost, that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to have a burning desire that those that have fallen from the faith, that you will contend for the faith, but you will pray for them, that those that are not believers anymore. You've got friends, you've got others that have maybe drifted from the Lord, that may not be contending for the faith. Maybe they've been hurt, maybe something's been said, maybe something that has done. But it's never for us to stop loving, it's never for us to stop praying. I tell you, it's hard to swallow, a big pill to swallow when Jesus says, love your enemies that despitefully use you. Pray for them. Give them. Boy, I know that's a big pill to swallow. But that's what Jesus said, because Jesus is telling us to do what he's asked us to do. God does the rest. Jesus does the rest. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know what they said. You don't know what they've done. I've had a big dagger stuck in my back. I know. I've been there with you. I've had that too. I've had disappointments too. I'm human just like you. But I still have to love. I still have to love. And I still have to forgive. It's a big pill to swallow, but it's something that we have to do. Why? Because Jesus said it. Jesus commanded it. It was not a suggestion. He didn't suggest it. Well, if you want to, fine. If you don't, that's fine. Don't worry about it. No, he commanded us to do it, to love the Lord God with all your heart. The new commandment, he said, the new commandment that I write unto you, that you love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength, and that you love your neighbor as yourself. He said, this supersedes all other commandments. Oh, but Pastor, what about the ten? He didn't come to destroy the Ten Commandments. He came to fulfill it. But it supersedes all. So this church at Colossae was a church that was loving God and loving others. Third, in my closing, their sure hope of heaven. Their sure hope of heaven. They had hope in heaven. Colossians 1 and 5. Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Look at this. Jesus Christ, through the Father, has laid hope to you in heaven, up in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Yes, this is not it. Life here is not it. This is not the end. When we leave this life, it will be just the beginning. It is a new life. It's a new life. Sister Sherry Hutchings, that was here for many years at our church, I did her funeral not too long ago. What a wonderful, godly lady. Never once heard an ill thing of anybody out of her mouth. What a saint. But I know she's in heaven right now, and she's rejoicing with her Lord. They tell me that she was speaking in a heavenly language as she was going to be leaving this life. What a wonderful way to go. What a wonderful way to go. What a wonderful way to communicate. Boy, that's a reassurance right there when you can speak a heavenly language. That's assurance that she was connected with her Lord and Savior. And the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What a wonderful thing. Listen, there is a sure hope of heaven. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Heaven was real to these faithful believers as we see this, and this world was not their home. They longed and lived for heaven. Heaven was their ultimate reward. They were laying up their treasures in heaven. They were laying up. They wasn't worried about what was going on in the world. They were laying up their treasures in heaven, for heaven was going to be their home. Matthew 6 and 19 says this, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, as Jesus says, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. Lay up the treasures of heaven. Heaven is our ultimate goal. Heaven is our home. But understand, it's not just about you going to heaven. It's about others going with you. You can't take fame and fortune to heaven, but you can take your family, you can take your friends, and take those that are around you to heaven, because God has stored up not just for you, but for all that wants to see His appearing. He's prepared it, and He's got it ready for us, which is laid up for you. It should be a great motivation for Christian service. Because God's keeping a record. I'm not keeping a record. Nobody else is keeping a record. Mom and Dad's not keeping a record. Your family and friends are not keeping a record. God is keeping a record of your faithfulness and your work for the Lord. Question. How are others affected by our faith, affected by our hope, and affected by our love? How are others affected by our faith, by our hope, and by our love? Do we refresh or discourage other believers? Do we refresh with the love of God and grace? Do we encourage or do we discourage other believers? Question, what can we do to minister to others every day? Ask yourself that question. What could you do? What word of encouragement could you give? Check yourself. Have you done more discouragement than you have encouragement? Have you lifted somebody else up, or have you just lifted yourself up? Have you given yourself to others and say, listen, I'm praying for you. Hey, I want to encourage you. Have we picked the phone up to call to gossip, or did we just pick the phone up to say, listen, you were on my mind and I want to pray for you today? How quick it is, because the Bible says in Proverbs that the power of the tongue is very dangerous and it cannot be tamed, as James says, but life and death is in the power of the tongue. And they that use it will surely live of it. We need to understand, what are we speaking? What are we saying? What are we doing? This is where the church that we see today in Colossae, as we look in Colossians, they were a church that kept their mind on the main thing being the main thing. They didn't keep their mind on themselves. What did John Doe have? What did Susie Q have over here? He's got too much. He's got this. He's got it. She's got that. This and that. They didn't bicker with one another. They didn't have envy and strife with one another. They wasn't like, oh, well, I'm this, you're that, you're not this, you're not that, you're not doing this, you're not doing this. And they were bickering. They wasn't bickering with one another. They became in one mind and one accord. And God began to bless the church. See, God begins to bless you and bless the church when you unite yourself together and you come in the bond of love. Stand with me across the building today. What can we do to minister to others every day?